Rubio.
We've been communicating to the Russian side that this effort was being undertaken, that we anticipated that when all was said and done, it would have close to 80 co-sponsors in the Senate, and that was an effort we couldn't stop and don't control.
Putin sent a lower-level delegation to talks with Ukrainian officials in Istanbul last week. Those negotiations didn't result in a ceasefire agreement, although the two sides did agree to a prisoner swap.
President Trump's bill funding his tax and immigration enforcement policies finally made it out of committee after the House Budget Committee's Republican majority pushed it through last night. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
We will save the largest amount of money that's been saved in at least several decades and probably arguably in the whole history of the country.
It will also, analysts say, disproportionately benefit the wealthiest in the country. We're learning more about this weekend's fertility clinic bombing in Palm Springs, California. CBS's Andres Gutierrez has
the FBI now says the man that was killed in the blast that rocked this neighborhood is the suspect, adding that he was trying to live stream the attack. Four others were injured. All of them have been released from the hospital. None of them worked at the clinic.
Replacement buses in place again today, but New Jersey Transit trains will run again tomorrow after a tentative deal was struck with the Engineers and Trainmen's Union. New Jersey Transit CEO Chris Kaluri.
I think we are particularly gratified that we were able to find a solution that meets the needs of the customers and our employees, and more importantly than all of it, the taxpayers of New Jersey.
Officials in Fremont, Ohio say two women are dead, a child is missing, and a toddler's been hospitalized after a train hit a group of people walking on the tracks. Mayor Danny Sanchez.
There has been two people that have died tonight as a result of a train collision, a 58-year-old female, and I believe a 38-year-old female, and I believe it is a mother and daughter.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local news on WRJN is brought to you hourly by Conventional Concrete Systems. Top-notch work with a beautiful finish. 262-206-3168.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. City of Racine crews are still cleaning up storm damage. Today is another day for tree limbs and branches to be picked up. Those should be placed in the right-of-way for collection. The Pearl Street Yard Waste Drop-Off Site and the Solid Waste Transfer Station have special hours to help get rid of storm debris. They're open through mid-afternoon. This week, bulky item pickup is being expanded to allow more than five items without stickers on regular trash days. Leaves and grass aren't being collected curbside, and those must be dropped off at the Pearl Street facility. There's more about the City of Racine's response to last week's storms at WRJN.com. Mayor Corey Mason will be on the Don Rosen Show this morning at 7:30 to give more information. Racine police are still gathering information after an 11-year-old boy was fatally shot by a sibling Friday night. It happened at a home on Prospect. A statement says a suspect was arrested after the shooting at around 10:30 Friday night. The family ended up taking the boy to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. Police say an investigation is ongoing. The LGBTQ Center of Southeastern Wisconsin shut down suddenly Friday. Staff and community members arrived to find the Racine facility closed without notice. Read all about what happened and where their funding was coming from online at racinecountyi.com. Some Kenosha Theater kids are celebrating. Kenosha Unified players have been recognized with several prestigious 2025 Jerry Awards for their outstanding achievements in musical theater. Productions from Bradford and Indian Trail High Schools took home top honors, including Outstanding Musical, Outstanding Lead Performer, and Awards for Direction and Design. The statewide Jerry Awards program celebrates the best in high school musical theater, with over 500 awards presented this year. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
Conventional Concrete Systems is making concrete great again as the best in the Midwest. If it's a sidewalk, patio, driveway, floor, curb, or gutter, experience matters. Their experts have you covered. Your home deserves the very best. Conventional Concrete Systems provides precision and excellence to every project. It's top-notch work with a beautiful finish that's built to last. Visit them on Facebook or call 262-206-3168 to get started today.
Brewers host Baltimore.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it's the Brewers and the Orioles at AmFam Field tonight for the first of three games. Milwaukee with a 5-2 win over the Twins after losing four of their last five games. I asked Brewers pitcher Trevor McGill, on the 1-10, how badly did they need that win yesterday?
Probably out of 11 out of 10. We really needed that. The energy today and everything just looked and felt great from the first pitch.
Racing, 26-year-old Robert Schwartzman of Israel, becoming the first rookie to win the pole position at Indy since 1983.
I don't know what even to say. The car felt amazing. Coming here for my first oval race, I would never even expect myself to be in this position. It's unbelievable, honestly. Big thanks to everybody. Big thanks to the fans who came here, who were cheering for me. Big thanks to y'all.
Schwartzman clocked at 232.7 miles per hour. The Indy 500 coming up on Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy this morning. We'll see a little sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high today, 51. Tonight, breezy, cloudy, scattered showers after midnight, low of 44. Tomorrow, breezy with rain likely, and there could be heavy rain, an inch to an inch and a half or more tomorrow night into Wednesday. Our high tomorrow, near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
I grew up in Northwest Indiana, which is part of the Rust Belt. If you're unfamiliar, Rust Belt is a cute, catchy term to describe an area of economic devastation. Rust Belt. I remember the first time I brought my wife home, she looked around and she was like, oh my God, what happened here? And I was like, well, they fixed it up. Used to be beer cans everywhere. There were some nice parts, but we've all been to cities and towns like that where every building looks like it was designed by Stalin. I feel like I grew up in a place unlike anywhere. Like, the first time I went fishing was in the community swimming pool. Every September, they would fill the public pool with fish, and then kids from the town would try and catch the fish before the chlorine killed the fish. I've been telling this to people my entire adult life, expecting someone to be like, yeah, we did that too. Not a soul.
This is what I waited for. I love this segment. I love anything to do with movies. As you know, every Friday we do our movie segment. Well, we have a special segment today with Nell Minow, the movie mom from moviemom.com, and we're going to preview the summer movies. Hey, good morning, Nell. Thanks for joining us this early. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm very happy to talk, and I'm very happy that we've got summer movies coming up with Memorial Day weekend, always the big kickoff.
Now, this really started the summer movie craze with Jaws, right? Before Jaws, there were movies out there, but never blockbuster movies, right?
And Jaws was the big surprise. Nobody expected it. Jaws really created the blockbuster. You know, before that, if a movie made money, that was great. But Jaws made buckets of money and really transformed the idea that, particularly, that summer is the time for blockbusters and, fall is the time for awards movies, serious awards movies.
Okay, so actually an ocean full of money. We'll just say that. Okay, yeah. Let's kick off the movie season with this weekend, Mission Impossible. The final one, right?
That's what they say. But you know what? If it makes a ton of money, who knows? We could get more. What I liked about this one, what I liked about this one is that they actually brought back a character who had the most minor role in the first one, and he became my favorite character in this movie. I thought it was just wonderful. And Tom Cruise, of course, does his own stunts, no CGI, no stunt performers. And so when they've got one air biplane and chasing another one, so two of these old-fashioned planes with two sets of wings, you can see Tom Cruise hanging off of it, falling off, climbing back on as the planes are just, you know, zooming through the sky. And there's another scene where he's in a sunken Russian submarine under the Antarctic, and every time he moves from one part of the submarine to another, it sort of rolls over and things start falling on him. And, of course, they spend 15 minutes explaining that he'll die instantly if he doesn't have the super diving suit on and he has to take it off. He spends a lot of time with his shirt off in this movie, looking very good for a guy in his 60s.
You got to be nervous if you're the producer of the film and your star of the whole movie wants to do his own stunts. Because he gets hurt, you don't have a movie anymore.
Well, that's right. And my favorite story about that is that Matt Damon said that he was comparing notes with Tom Cruise. He's talking about the Bourne movies. He said, you know, we had this one stunt, but the stunt coordinator said it was too dangerous, so we didn't do it. And Tom Cruise said, when my stunt coordinator says the stunt is too dangerous, I get a new stunt coordinator.
That is good. Yeah, the person who says no, I get rid of that person until I find the person that says yes.
Exactly. And he says he wants to make movies until he's 100 years old. So who knows? We may get Mission Impossible, you know, the AARP year at some point.
But, Mission Impossible, but, yeah, the retirement
home.
You don't
care what it is he's going after. Yeah. I mean, blah, blah, AI, blah, blah. The whole world is at risk, blah, blah. But what you do care about is, of course, he's got this great relationship with his team. And yes, one of them does die during the course of the movie, quite early in the movie. And of course, the stunts. So that's what we're there for. So you can watch it with the sound off if you want to. It doesn't matter. You just get to see the stunts.
Karate Kid Legends. There's a series that's not going away, huh?
Well, you know, if you had decided to imagine what movie series was going to produce a very different television series that became incredibly popular, the Cobra Kai series. I would never have picked the Karate Kid. I actually talked to the guys who created the Cobra Kai series when I was at San Diego Comic-Con, and they were, you know, basically the kids who had the lunchbox. They were passionate fans as kids, and they just wanted to keep the story going. And now here we are back in theaters again. And this time, we've got the characters from both versions. So you got Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio are back. And I think somebody will be waxing on, waxing off, and kicking.
I still think Ralph Macchio's best movie is My Cousin Vinny. I just think
that. I do, too. Love that movie.
Even though he's not he's a major character, but he's not the big one.
He doesn't have much of a role in it. But Marissa Tomei, one of the great performers of all time.
Another John Wick movie. This one's called Ballerina.
Yeah, they said the last John Wick movie was the last John Wick movie. But as I said, if it makes enough money, they'll bring it back. And so since, I mean, spoiler, John Wick dies in the last movie, they had to set this one before the last movie. And this one is called Ballerina from the World of John Wick, if you can imagine a more clunky title than that. but Ana de Armas trained like crazy to do all of her own stunts as a ballerina and an assassin. You know, just the two professions that you would imagine would go together.
How to Train Your Dragon. This is a series I didn't expect to take off, but it did.
It did. You know what? The first one really knocked me over. It was so much better than I expected. And there again, I got to talk to the guy who created it. And what's unusual about this, I can't remember another time that there was an animated series. And, of course, then there was a television series. And the guy who created it all is doing the live-action version. And it is a true labor of love for him. He laughed when he told me that the dragon, Toothless, in the movie is inspired by his own pet, who is not a dragon, but I think a cat. And I just loved that first one. I loved the whole series. The third one made me cry. But the characters are so endearing, and the dragons are so imaginative. I think this live-action one's going to be good.
28 years later, there's another. That's like a Walking Dead-type series.
Yeah. The thing that surprised me in the original one, which was 28 days later, and then they had 28 months later, is you think of zombies as kind of slow, but they had really fast zombies. And I still think that first one, 28 days later, had one of the scariest scenes I've ever seen in any movie, because the zombies, of course, were terrifying, especially because they were so fast, but it was the humans who were the most terrifying because of the way they betrayed each other to try to stay alive. I thought that was the most chilling movie. So, yeah, I think this one is going to be good, but I have to tell you, I may skip it myself because I just have had enough of zombies. I don't know how many more zombies I want to watch.
On this TV series, 2.5 Men, the little kid is preparing to ask George Washington questions. That was his assignment. And he says, President Washington, which do you prefer more, the fast-walking Dead or the Slow Walking Dead films. And that's what it was, the Fast Walkers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Megan 2.0. This might have been a surprise hit, Megan. Kind of a weird looking face on this young lady. It looks like a doll face. Megan 2.0.
She's a robot. That's why.
Yeah.
So she looks like a robot. Yeah, it was a shock to everybody how successful that first one was. And there was a very funny parody about it on Saturday Night Live. But yeah, it became kind of a cultural phenomenon. And as you could see from the poster, that just as the little girl is growing up, the new Megan is a little more grown up. She's got kind of a more adult looking, well, maybe teenager looking body. And I'm sure she's just going to be just as ruthless this time as she was the last time. When you tell a robot to take care of somebody, no matter what, be prepared for the consequences.
You know, the thing is, I would normally go to the movies to see this, but my wife won't. And I don't want to be one of those creepy old men who sit in the theater all by themselves with a kid. So I don't see it. The Jurassic Park franchise, this one is huge because we have, I can't keep track of all the names because they all have different names. This is Jurassic World, another one coming out.
Jurassic World is another one where, you know, the original Jurassic Park, obviously a smash hit. It is a fabulous, fabulous movie. The sequels have been, you remember the famous Running in the High Heels? I mean, they've been a little bit silly at times. And, of course, there is an animated series that's been very popular with kids. And now we're back in the theater with Rebirth. And, you know, what's it going to be? It's going to be more dinosaurs chasing more people. And,
After the original, never use a porta potty. Remember that scene?
I do.
Never used one ever
well,
since.
Well, the most important thing I learned from the first one is not to clone dinosaurs.
Yes, and I'm sure people have tried, and let's not do it. All right, is it the Old Guard 2? Is that what I'm looking at here now?
Yeah, the Old Guard 1 had some great fight scenes, and it has a terrific cast. Charlize Theron, Kiki Lane, who I absolutely love, Chiwetel Ejiofor, and some new people are joining. I love this actor, Matthias Schoenhart, so I'm looking forward to that. Uma Thurman is going to be in it. Henry Fielding, who we just saw in the sequel to A Simple Favor. Again, this one's going to be all about the action, as it's about immortal heroes who are very tough. And I'm not even sure who they're going to be fighting, but I'm sure it's going to be exciting.
Let me ask you, is this a Netflix movie?
I think, yeah, it is a Netflix movie.
But they're going to show it in theaters?
No, I think it's going straight to Netflix.
Oh, I don't like that. I'm just a pure movie theater person.
Yeah.
I mean, I just...
It's a different experience.
I know it is. And I know people growing up today don't see any difference, but... You and I see a difference. It's got to be.
Sure. And also, it's just part of the group experience. You know,
I know.
You just don't laugh the same way. You don't gasp the same way if you're watching it at home. And you just can't help yourself. You'll check your email. You'll go get a sandwich. It's not the same experience. Yeah.
The Smurfs movie. Now, I took my daughter back in the 80s to see Smurfs and the Magic Flute. I don't know if you remember that movie.
Yeah, of course I do.
Now, the Smurfs, it was like a 75-minute movie, and the Smurfs... were only in it for the last 5 minutes or 6 minutes. It was all, and people, these little kids, where's Gargamel? Where are the Smurfs?
Yeah.
Where? And they're screaming because they took a movie called The Magic Flute and tacked on the Smurfs at the end and put it in theaters. And, you know, I took my daughter to all those type of movies. But this is a real Smurfs movie.
This is a real Smurfs movie. The surprise on this movie is who produced it. Rihanna.
Okay.
The Bahamian pop star produced this and provides one of the voices. And I will say that the Smurfs have come a long way. It used to be that every Smurf had, like, the one attribute, and the girl Smurf, her attribute was being a girl. You know, she didn't get to be smart or strong or whatever. But now she's got more of a real human role, or more multifaceted. And I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued by the idea of Rihanna taking it over and making it more high profile. So, yeah, I think Smurfs movies are going to be pretty good.
Was there a human outcry in the streets for Happy Gilmore 2? Was there? Because it's coming out.
I'm not a fan of the first one. Yeah. I'm not a fan of Adam Sandler. I think he's the laziest person in the history of Hollywood. He just calls his friends up, and they usually go off to some exotic location. But I will say, they brought back Christopher McDonald, who I thought was a good villain in the first one. And apparently, there are going to be a lot of cool cameos. If you know golfers, you're going to see a bunch of them in this movie. But, I may wait for that one to come on streaming. Oh, it is coming on streaming. That was a Netflix movie. So that's where it should be.
Okay, another Naked Gun film. People don't remember this, but O.J. Simpson, he starred in the original Naked Gun. He's one of the co-stars, right? Was that the film he was in?
He was one of the co-stars, and he will not be appearing in this one.
Yeah.
This one, Liam Neeson takes over from Leslie Nielsen, and it just looks extremely silly. I just think it's very funny that the guy from Taken is going to be doing all of these silly jokes. Pamela Anderson is in it, and what intrigues me about it is that the director is the guy who has done all of the Lonely Island videos, the ones from Saturday Night Live, You Know What in a Box, and the one with Michael Bolton. So I think he's very funny. I love the pop star Never Stop Popping starring or whatever it is that was Andy Samberg that they did. And so the fact that he's doing the directing makes me very intrigued about this.
The Bad Guys 2. I don't remember The Bad Guys 1.
The Bad Guys 1 was one of my favorite animated films of the last few years. It had an incredible cast. Sam Rockwell, Mark Maron, Craig Robinson, Awkwafina, and they're bringing in some more. They're bringing in bad girls this time, too, a whole team of bad girls. And, of course, the thing about the bad guys is that they start out as very antisocial, and they're crooks and robbers, and they sort of get turned into good guys in the first movie. It's done with such flair and such style. Sam Rockwell, of course, famous for his wonderful and definitely unique style of dancing. They even had his character do that dance. I really like the first one, and I know you didn't see it, but one of the best animated films of this year so far was Dog Man, and they had a little short promoting this movie in front of that one, and it got me very excited about it. So, yeah, The Bad Guys 2 is one of the ones I'm really looking forward to.
Freakier Friday. Now, they had Freaky Friday with Jodie Foster was in the original. Didn't they have a...
That's right.
They had a remake of it, and this is another one, right?
That's right. This is actually the fourth time around for the Freaky Friday movies, because there's also Disney made a musical version. Now, I'm going to tell you a piece of trivia about Freaky Friday. Do you know who wrote the original book?
No.
About the body switching, which, of course, has now been, adapted a million times in movies. It was written by a woman named Mary Rogers, the daughter of Rogers, of Rogers and Hammerstein.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Okay.
Isn't it? And, okay, so, yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan are back, and there's another generation, and so there's going to be a lot of body switching in this one. And I think the trailer made it look very, very funny with Saturday Night Live's Vanessa Bayer as kind of a fortune teller who warns them that this is going to be happening. And so I think it's going to be good. Now, I really did enjoy the Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis Freaky Friday version. I thought it was a lot of fun. And I remember that it ended with Lindsay Lohan being singing with her rock group. So I hope that they bring back that rock group's name was Pink Slip.
Well, there's an actress who got her act together again after all her problems, Lindsay Lohan.
That's right. We're really happy to see her back. And, of course, Jamie Lee Curtis is living her best life and having won an Oscar and playing just a hilarious role in the series Sticky. She just seems to be having a blast these days. And, she was also in The Last Showgirl last year. She's just taking on roles that make her laugh, and I think that's great.
The Roses. What's this one about?
Well, I don't think anybody really remembers that after they had huge success with a comedy action film, Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas made a movie about a feuding couple that was very sour.
Oh, The War of the Roses.
It was supposed to be a comedy, The War of the Roses.
Yeah.
So this is a reboot. Okay, I can't believe you remember that movie.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is a reboot of that with U.K., superstars, Olivia Colman and Benedict Cumberbatch, with their best friends are played by Andy Samberg and Kate McKinnon. And I have to tell you, I don't know how funny I think it is that couples are torturing each other and insulting each other, but I'm very intrigued by the cast. And if you like the first one, maybe you're going to like this one, too.
And the first one was narrated by Danny DeVito, their attorney.
That's right. That's right. He was their co-star.
Yeah, he narrated the whole movie. That was good. The Toxic Avenger. This one came out from some kind of weird studio when it first came out in the 70s, I guess, or 80s.
You're exactly right.
It was kind of
came out one of those studios that produces movies for $25 or less.
I know.
Its cheesiness was part of its appeal, and yet sort of like Little Shop of Horrors, which was also made like over a weekend. It inspired sequels, a stage musical, a comic book series, a video game, an animated series, and now there's another version. And what I think is really sort of appealing about this one is that the Toxic Avenger, whose nickname, of course, is Toxie, is played by Peter Dinklage.
Oh, yeah. Great actor. Yeah.
Terrific actor. I don't know how much of him we're going to see under all of the makeup and everything, but it also has Kevin Bacon, Elijah Wood, the wonderful Taylor Page, Jacob Tremblay, who was the little kid in Room, and Jane Levy, who I love. So it's got a great cast. But remember, this movie is going to be very graphic, really not for the faint of heart.
They're doing a documentary on Marvel's very first movie. Do you know what the very first Marvel movie was?
No.
Nobody's going to guess it. Howard the Duck.
Oh, gosh, of course that's a Marvel movie. Huge flop.
Liked it. I was one of the few people that actually liked it. It was a horrible.
You were one of the few people who actually saw it. I mean, that was one of the most famous flops in history, and it was from, I think the people who wrote it are the same people that wrote American Graffiti. Everybody had really high expectations. And
I liked that movie. I felt so bad for that duck, and it was kind of a cheesy duck. I mean, it looked like some kind of hand puppet type of duck. It didn't work well. Can I bring you back for part two of this?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're gonna set a date. I'll call you. I'll get a hold of you later today. We're gonna set a date. I got to get to part two because I'm looking ahead here, and we got Superman, a whole bunch of other things. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg, what's coming out this summer. You know what's really sad, though? When they dump a lot of big movies on one day, and you can't... There was a book written. I'm going to look up the name of the book. It was about the weekend that Terminator 2, Legally Blonde, Red, White, and Blue, I think. And it was three big movies that came out on the same holiday weekend. And it talks about what a mistake they did putting those movies together on one weekend because it can only be one winner.
Barbenheimer seems to have done pretty well.
That's the rarity because they're totally different audiences.
Yeah.
Totally different. But these weren't.
I don't know. A lot of people went to see both and bragged about going to see both. So, you got a long weekend. You got time to go to two movies.
I didn't really care for Oppenheimer. It was okay.
I didn't care for Oppenheimer either. I completely agree with you. I thought it was, I admired it more than I liked it, and I don't ever plan to see it again.
You know what they said? This is Humphrey Bogart said when they asked him about the Caine Mutiny movie, he said, it was a good movie, but they crapped it up with a love story. I said the same thing about Oppenheimer. They kind of ruined it with
Absolutely. We had four movies come out within a four-month period that were about immensely consequential people and spent much too much time on their romantic story. So we had the Leonard Bernstein movie, the Napoleon movie, the Oppenheimer movie. And what made those men interesting was not who they were in love with and how they treated them.
I know.
It was about the stuff they actually did.
Nell, I got to have you back. This goes so fast when I'm with you. We'll set
a
date.
We'll talk soon.
Part two. Thank you. Nell Minow, the Movie Mom at moviemom.com. Go check it out. All the movies we're talking about are at moviemom.com. All right, it's time for the rest of the story with Paul Harvey, brought to you daily by Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha, 75th Street and 30th Avenue, Kenosha's family tradition for stunning customized floral arrangements, homemade candles, and premium chocolates. Paul, in just 30 seconds.
When words aren't enough, say it with flowers from Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. From breathtaking bouquets to elegant arrangements, they create floral designs for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and every special moment in between. Complete your gift with DeBrand truffles or a signature Carrie's candle with scents like Wisconsin Northwoods, Ocean Breeze, or Mom's Home. Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. Enter the spacious parking lot from 75th Street just west of 30th Avenue. Open until 7 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Saturdays.
The rest of the story. Ed Stratemeyer had been cheated out of a childhood. As a small boy, his time was occupied mostly by reading and studying. After eighth grade, he dropped out of school and got a job. At 27, he was still working in his brother's tobacco shop. Friends more fortunate had already gone on to college, had their adventures, had pursued professions. But there was Ed, precisely where it seemed he had always been, behind the counter of somebody else's establishment, giving his life to somebody else's dream. And so it was on a slow, dull, gray afternoon in 1889 that Ed Stratemeyer, utterly frustrated and longing for what he knew would never be his, tore a big sheet of brown wrapping paper from the roll. He took a pencil and began to write a story. The words tumbled freely from his imagination to form the tale of a young man's success, the sort of success that Ed was certain that he would never capture for himself. The story was called Victor Horton's Idea. When it was finished, Ed sent the brown wrapping paper manuscript to a boys' magazine in Philadelphia. Weeks later, he received a letter from an editor informing him that his story had been accepted. And enclosed was a check for $75. That was six times what Ed earned per week in his brother's tobacco store, and so an author was born. But this is the rest of the story. Ed wrote and sold more stories in the months that followed. Eventually, he was hired as an editor for the juvenile publisher Street & Smith. There he might have stayed for the rest of his life, writing an occasional dime novel for his own amusement, had real-life history not intervened. For in 1898, in the progress of the Spanish-American War, Admiral George Dewey steamed into Manila Bay, seizing front pages and imaginations nationwide. It was Ed Stratemeyer's story about the victorious Admiral Dewey. Now remember this. It was Stratemeyer's story about the victorious Admiral and about two boys who had stowed away on the Commodore's flagship. It was that story that transformed Ed from an anonymous literary dreamer into the most successful adventure author of his or perhaps anybody else's time. The thrill-packed novel, Under Dewey at Manila, sailed through four printings. Publishers begged Ed for more stories like it, and they got more. Dictating 7,500 words from 9 to 5 each day, Ed Stratemeyer managed to produce more than 1,300 books throughout his profitable career. He used a lot of pen names, both masculine and feminine. That accounts for the fact that you do not recognize his own real one. But the immortal characters he created have long since become a part of our vernacular. Heroes and heroines with names like Tom Swift and Nancy Drew, the Bobbsey Twins, the Hardy Boys, and dozens more. None of whom might ever have come to life in the first place had Ed Stratemeyer not written an adventure novel called Under Dewey at Manila. Well, now it can be told. When Dewey surprised the world in 1898, defeating the Spanish at Manila Bay, Ed Stratemeyer had just finished his story, his fiction, his novel about a couple of imaginary stowaways on a battleship. But the publisher was impressed with the coincidental similarities between what Ed had written as fiction and what Dewey had accomplished as fact. And hoping to ride the crest of this public fascination, the publisher changed the title of Ed's novel accordingly and then sent it out not as fiction, but as fact. Not as a book, but as news. And now you know the rest of the story.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Public works crews are putting in a lot of work cleaning up from last week's storms. The city of Racine is continuing storm debris cleanup with people able to place tree limbs and branches in the right-of-way for pickup. City crews worked throughout the weekend in the impacted areas. There are special extended hours available at the Pearl Street Yard Waste Drop-Off Site and the Solid Waste Transfer Station. Bulky item pickup is being adjusted this week, allowing more than five items without stickers to be picked up on normal trash days. There's more about the cleanup efforts at WRJN.com. Mayor Corey Mason will be on the Don Rosen Show this morning at 7:30 to give more information. When disaster strikes, so do scammers. The State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is warning about storm chaser scams. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains.
Following the severe weather across the state last week, officials say residents should be on the lookout for repair crews going door-to-door offering help. The scammers are typically from out of state and seek to take advantage of those who experienced storm damage. What they like to do is take payments for repairs and leave the area without doing any work. You should look to hire local contractors and detail repair work.
An 11-year-old boy died Friday night in Racine after accidentally being shot by a sibling. Police say they arrested a suspect at the scene. The family took the boy to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. Police say they are continuing to investigate. A star science teacher is being honored this week at the Bradford Planetarium. Kenosha Unified is dedicating the educational dome to Mildred Millie Carlson, Kenosha Unified's first planetarium director. A special dedication ceremony will be held at Bradford Wednesday starting at 3. The event will feature a display led by current planetarium director Jason Standish. Carlson taught at Washington and Bullen before leading the planetarium operation at Bradford. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
There's a lot of ways that animal disease and insects can make their way into the United States. What many farmers may not realize, you've got a four-legged partner fighting for you. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. It's called the Beagle Brigade, and these four-legged warriors are generally working international airports, trying to sniff through a lot of luggage, a lot of carry-ons, to make sure that there's nothing that can contaminate U.S. agriculture inside. Valerie Wu is one of the handlers of the Beagle Brigade. They work the Dulles Airport in Washington, D.C., and she explains what their day looks like.
We work a 10-hour shift. Our partners are with us for the majority of that shift. We do kennel all of our dogs. They don't live at home with us because they are primarily looking for food. Places like the kitchen or the dining room would be problematic areas for training. And a lot of our dogs have never been pets. A lot of them have been hunting dogs or things of that nature.
Valerie Wu, one of the Beagle Brigade handlers with the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Animal Plant Health Inspection Service. They say the Beagle Brigade has a 95% success rate.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about base light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
On Friday, the barrel cheese was up 6 at 188. 40-pound block cheese up 3.25 at 193. Double A butter up a penny, 2.34 1/4 per pound. This morning in Chicago, June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 3, 19.26. July corn's up 3. December new crop up 2 at 4.37. July beans are up a nickel. November new crop up 3 at 10.39. And July wheat, 6 cents stronger, 5.31 a bushel. That's just a quick snapshot of where the numbers stand so far on a Monday morning. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
Mostly cloudy this morning. We'll see a little sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high today, 51. Tonight, breezy, cloudy, scattered showers after midnight, low of 44. Tomorrow, breezy with rain likely, and there could be heavy rain, 1 to 1.5 inches or more tomorrow night into Wednesday. Our high tomorrow, near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
My kid goes to the worst school there is. Only public school I know, the school newspaper has an obituary column. Yeah, look, the one class that teach the kids English, I heard a teacher say, what comes after a sentence? Can you not? You make an appeal. That's where I live, in the West Side. I live in an older building. You know, I want to move out of here. My wife wants to stay there, though. My wife, she can't do nothing right. Nothing. You know? I took her to the ballet. She forgot the sandwiches. She can't cook either. The worst cook in the world. In my house, we pray after we eat. What a lousy cook, you kid. I don't think meatloaf should glow in the dark. I got the only dog. He begs for Alka-Seltzer. You can't cook at all. I need dental floss in the kitchen. The roaches hang themselves. Well, last night she gave me a steak. It still had marks where the jockey was hitting it. And then she told me to take out the garbage. I told her, you cook it, you take it out.
His Honor, the mayor is here. Mayor Corey Mason from Racine. Now, this was not a scheduled chat we had. This was brought on by Thursday's storms.
Yeah.
And I was telling the mayor before we went on, I had never seen a storm like that before in my life.
Yeah, I mean, it was intense. I mean, lots of people just assumed it must have been a tornado. It wasn't, but it had that kind of intensity. We had a lot of downed trees on cars and houses and in the streets. And I mean, thank goodness nobody was hurt. Sort of amazing to see that much damage and there were no injuries. But, you know, before we get into some of the details, I do want to take my hat off to the DPW crew and the forestry division over at Parks and the police department and fire department that were, you know, out there immediately directing traffic and getting the debris out of the streets. But yeah, it's been quite a cleanup. And you know, the crazy part about it, Don, is if you were here where the studio is, you wouldn't have noticed any of this, really. I mean, you might have seen a little bit of rain, but you didn't see this kind of intensity. But if you were maybe at, you know, Erie or Wisconsin and east of there, if you were near the lakefront, all the way up and down from the north end of town to the south end of town, it was intense. I mean, there were, you know, huge trees just knocked over like they were toothpicks and did a lot of damage when they did.
Well, I live on Main Street. You know where I live.
Yeah.
And I went outside to put something in the recycling bin in the backyard, and I felt, oh, a drop of rain. It's going to... Within 10 minutes, it looked like... I couldn't believe it. The rain was going horizontal.
Yeah.
I couldn't even see the street. It was just so windy. And I saw the flag on the side of my house just really hit. And it, the metal snapped off.
Yeah.
And there was a box on my porch just took off in the air like the Wizard of Oz. And I was going to take a picture of it for my wife, a video, but I was so terrified. I'd never seen weather like this. I'm not from the Midwest. I just, right. I never witnessed anything like that before.
No, it was.
How was it by your house?
Equally bad. I mean, big storm, big trees just completely knocked over, or limbs of trees just snapped off like tree branches. I mean, had, you know, a couple broken windows of our own to contend with, and big, you know, tree limbs that, you know, crashed into things. So yeah, a lot of people were pretty shaken by it.
You had
so,
broken windows, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, a lot of people did up and down, and there were reports of pretty big-sized hail, so I don't know if it was the hail that did it or if there were, you know, pieces of debris from the trees that did it, but it was substantial. It was glass everywhere. So,
wow.
You know, and again, if you were anywhere on the west side of town or even just, you know, a few, you know, 6-8 blocks from the lakefront, you might not have noticed anything like this, but we had power out for 24 to 36 hours for several thousand people. We had a lot of cleanup to do. And again, it was just really good to see the city employees respond so quickly. And, you know, police and fire and DPW and forestry were out there right away and making sure that at least the streets were passable, right? That the big trees and limbs that had fallen onto the street were going to be taken away. But yeah, if you drove through town up and down Main Street, you would have seen, you know, entire trees upended and heaving up driveways and falling onto the right of way and falling onto cars and houses. And so, you know, it was a pretty big event. You know, the zoo had some real damage done to it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I emailed Beth Heidorn over the weekend and she's probably busy. What happened to that? I heard somebody said that so the zoo had damage. What damage?
Yeah, I mean, apparently one of the big tents flew away, but they had a lot of downed trees as well. So it's just, you know, just again, you know, you don't think about it. You see these trees that look like they're 80 to 100 years old and you think they're, you know, they're going to withstand anything. And then you get something like this comes along and they just pop over like it was nothing. I mean, some of them snapped and some of them fell over, like were literally uprooted and turned over. So, you know, really, and it was, you know, I was wondering initially if it was just something happening on the north side, because we had heard a lot of reports of damage at one point as well, but it went all the way down to the south side of town as well. So there were people, you know, without power who also saw big damage and tree limbs down. So, if, you know, ran the whole length of the city, north to south. But again, if you were eight blocks in, you might not have noticed any of it.
On my property, I have these huge pine trees.
Yeah.
Huge. And I said, oh, please don't let them come down. It'll go right through my house or my neighbor's house. And we just had a couple of branches, small branches. I just had to pick them up. And that was the end of that. But we were traveling through Wind Point yesterday.
Yeah.
And I see these giant trees just toppled over. What kind of wind
pushed it
like a bulldozer couldn't even push those trees over.
Right. That's why a lot of people just wonder, was it a tornado? And again, it wasn't. It's called a micro burst, apparently. But yeah. I mean, it was an intense. And, you know, by all accounts, it was, you know, not even 10 minutes that all this damage.
Right.
Happened.
It was right.
Yeah.
Real short.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. And I saw one person walking in front of my house with an umbrella. And it was a typical picture where the umbrella's going to take them off like Mary Poppins and they'll be off in the air. And I was going to yell out the door, to get in here, get on my porch at least away from this, but they couldn't hear me.
Yeah.
It was like a train going through.
No, it was an intensity that I've never heard of from a thunderstorm or a microburst. It's really, again, thank God no one was hurt, but a lot of property damage and there's still some cleanup to do. So.
And I heard the chainsaws going the next morning.
Oh,
you can hear them all over town. We had a tree I saw. Remember the old Lee's Flowers parking lot on High and Chatham? Their giant tree, one of those giant right on the wire.
Oh,
and it was just bouncing on the wire. They eventually had to get rid of the tree because even if you go on the lakefront by North Beach, you can see all the trees snapped and not toppled over, but just snapped off.
Yeah.
I can't imagine witnessing that.
Oh, I mean, it was one house just north of the zoo that had these huge pine trees fall on. And it's, I think, one of the older houses in the neighborhood and just like fell right on top of the house.
Even at the corner of High and Chatham, I guess there's a house there. It's kind of an odd looking boxy house. The whole top of their tree got lopped off. It's not like the tree fell down. It just snapped off, and it's huge.
Yeah, that was the thing. So some of the trees fell over, like, from their roots, right?
Yeah.
But some of them, again, big, mature trees would snap in half or, you know, near the base. And so I can't imagine the power of the wind that's needed to do that between the hail and the wind and the storms that we heard. And, again, this was all in under 10 minutes by all reports. Trees down, power lines down. I mean, it was a big storm. And again, you'd be forgiven if you lived, you know, a half mile inland. And so what do you mean? We got a little bit of rain. What's the big deal? But for that, you know, easternmost part of the city limits, boy, it was a historic storm.
My wife was at church at Racine Bible Church way down by the interstate. And she said, rained a little bit. We heard some thunder. No winds.
Yeah.
I said, no winds.
Yeah.
You missed that.
It's amazing.
Yeah. We're talking to his honor, Mayor Corey Mason from the city of Racine. More coming up with the mayor in just a moment. 7:46, local news, timeless hits at WRJN. Cloudy today with a high near 51, chance of showers. Lows near 46 tonight. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms again. Highs near 51. Cloudy 44 right now at Radio Park.
You don't need a boat to join the Racine Yacht Club. Just a love for great times by the water. Whether you're a seasoned sailor or just looking for a vibrant community, RYC offers something for everyone. Set sail in club races, join a crew, let the kids play, or simply soak in the beauty of Lake Michigan. The friendships you build here last a lifetime. Come for the water, stay for the people. Join the Racine Yacht Club today. Different membership levels available and no boat required. Visit RacineYachtClub.org for more info.
Summer is here. Get some extra cash today with an installment loan up to $2,500 from your friends at AmeriCash Loans. AmeriCash Loans is a licensed lender with locations throughout Wisconsin. Just come by the Kenosha store at 6430 Green Bay Road, right in front of Lowe's. You can also call the store manager right now at 262-605-9777. That's 262-605-9777. Or visit AmeriCashLoans.com to apply online. That's AmeriCashLoans.com. Restrictions may apply.
Gear up for a winning experience at Studebaker's Field and Food in Racine. From thirst-quenching drinks to crave-worthy snacks, Studebaker's selection keeps you filled and ready to go every day. Outstanding service makes all the difference, and the team is always ready to deliver. Whether you're shopping in-store or cruising through Studebaker's speedy drive-thru, where fast meets fantastic, Swing by Studebaker's Fuel and Food at Highway 31 in Spring and Racine for the championship combo of selection, service, and convenience.
Home Harbor, Racine's premier assisted living community, is where luxury comfort and compassionate care create a perfect place to call home. From fine dining to personal care assistance, Home Harbor has everything you need. With 24-hour secure entrances, peace of mind is always part of the package. Take advantage of their special offer going on now. 1 month free or up to $1,000 off first month's rent. Come see why Home Harbor is the best choice for assisted living. Stop by 1600 Ohio Street for a tour or visit homeharborracine.com.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guys in the know, when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love, and love what you find.
With curbside pickup available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Their work to drive visitation and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover our great state, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. To learn more about what these great organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
W-R-J-N. We're talking to Mayor Corey Mason from the city of Racine, and we're talking about the storm damage from last Thursday. So people are going to have all these limbs. When I went down Wind Point, it was like firewood, take all you want. Right. It was all chopped up. And if you can, you know, people are trying to find people to help them chainsaw this stuff. And these guys are busy now.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
And so some people can do it themselves. I couldn't.
Right.
But some people can. So they have all these giant trees. They have all this wood. What do they do with it?
Yeah, so for today, what we want people to do, and over the weekend too, is a lot of people were doing cleanup, and I'm glad to see the word got out because you see a lot of it. But for today, they're going to pick up all the tree debris and limbs and everything else. Just put them right in the right of way where you would usually put your trash bins. And we had crews out on Friday doing pickup, but we'll have them out all day today too. So if you've got a big pile of trees and limbs and other things that you want to get rid of. And we spent most of the weekend picking up our yard. So we got to, you'll see if you drive up and down Main Street and the areas in there, a lot of piles of tree limbs and debris right there right now. So we're encouraging everybody to do that so we can get that material out of there today. If for some reason you can't get it today, you can still bring that material over to the Pearl Street facility at 801 Pearl Street, and they'll take your tree debris and whatnot and take it there.
We drop stuff off there all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
The leaf and...
So that's what you do with sort of the organic material is what they call it. But then there's what do you do with, broken debris from, different parts of all kinds of things that went flying around. And so for that, everybody has a trash pickup day throughout the week, and you can put out bulky items, right? You can do 5 bulky items, do the stickers and that sort of thing. But if you're in one of these affected areas, there's no cap on the number of bulky items that you can put out on the curb. So on your garbage day, if you have extra debris that's not the tree limbs and everything, are things that got broken and that you need to replace, and materials that snapped in half or had some real damage to it, you can put those out on the street on your normal garbage day. Again, if you're in the affected areas, no limit on the number of bulky items you can put out there. We've seen anecdotally a lot of destroyed property, and so people need to get rid of it. They can do that. Now, again, if you don't want to wait until then or you miss it on your day, you can also take it to the solid waste transfer station. That, of course, is at the end of 21st Street, west of Green Bay Road. If you turn right on Highway 31 there, you'll see the transfer station for solid waste that the city has. So if you have recyclable materials or big bulky items that you couldn't get out by your trash day this week, you can take your materials there.
When you came home, you were out. You weren't at home when the storm hit.
Yeah.
And the broken window, was there water in there and everything?
Oh, yeah. Tons of water.
Oh, no.
Tons of water, but glass everywhere. I mean, it was just...
Was this a big window that broke?
Yeah. So just, a lot of glass and giant tree limbs that snapped off 2 yards over, right? I mean, it was this big willow tree where these, and the whole tree didn't fall over, but there were these limbs that were, 30-40 feet in the air that just snapped off like they were toothpicks, and did some real destruction to my neighbor's yard, to my yard. But it was just like, you just can't believe the strength of the wind that it took to knock over some of these trees or break some of these tree limbs and just take them down.
I saw some of the footage from the tornadoes in Mayville. That's got to be terrifying to see a tornado heading toward you. And you really, other than hiding, there's nothing you can do.
Right.
In the last few weeks, too, going through these southern section of America, you see these towns just wiped out.
Yeah.
Schools, churches, homes, factories wiped out.
Yeah.
And they got to start. Do you remember, I wasn't living here. I think I was in Atlanta at the time when the tornadoes came through Barneveld on Highway 18 in Barneveld, Wisconsin. And it wiped out the entire town except for three or four homes.
Right.
And I've been back to Barneveld several times. I remember Dan Rather was doing the news, and they showed the tower, the water tower, which was one of the few surviving things in Barneveld.
Yeah.
But the town was flattened. Yeah. And you go there today, and all the homes are modern except for three or four homes.
Right.
Even the bank, you can see where half the bank was destroyed, and they repaired the bank to put the other half back together again. That's got to be terrifying. And I went to a diner in Barneveld several years ago, and I was afraid to ask somebody about it, but I wanted to know about it. And one of the people working at the diner, the cashier, said, yeah, I was a volunteer fireman and wanted to talk about it. And then another person came, well, yeah, I was there too. They do want to talk about it because now it's history. And they,
right.
And I don't think anybody got hurt. It's just amazing.
That's a blessing, really. I mean, to see that much damage done.
I don't know how you deal with these towns being destroyed.
Well, it's devastating, right? I mean, so again, it's really, if it happened to you, it's really acute and you're, you know, trying to figure out how to deal with the storm damage. But, you know, it was not a tornado. It did not level the entirety of the town. And again, thank goodness nobody was hurt. I mean, that's really kind of an amazing.
Does the city have a plan for something like this where if a tornado, God forbid, comes through and it devastates, you know, parts of Racine, do we have a plan of attack?
So there's an emergency management office that the county runs where they will coordinate office that then can go across jurisdictions and whatnot. Believe it or not, the person who's most knowledge about this in the city is David Mack, because when he used to work for the county, that was his job.
He's coming in next week.
Well, you should ask him all about what the emergency management protocols are, because he would know better than anybody. But yes, we have protocols in place for different kinds of emergencies that sort of like, hey, when do we coordinate services? When do we coordinate heavy equipment? How can that all work? But yeah, there's emergency management plans in place. Now, you know, I mean, again, if you get a storm that levels the entire town, I don't know that anybody has a plan for that. But we want to make sure that people are safe. And again, it was great to see everybody spring into action after the storm happened. Again, you had the police out there right away redirecting traffic where there was down trees and limbs, but the streets weren't passable. And then you had forestry and DPW out there removing those limbs to get them out there. We Energies was, out right away getting the trees off the power line. So there's really, you know, my hat's off to the public employees who, you know, are all of them were sort of home at 10 o'clock on a given night thinking they were going to have a nice, easy Thursday night. And, you know, we have to call them in emergency situations like this. And they're all right there pretty shortly and out there and making the streets passable and as safe as possible. So it's kind of incredible.
Now, I did see on Wind Point yesterday, one of the lines is still hanging there by the guy's grass. It's still down. It's connected, but it's in a loop about, you know, four or five feet off the ground. What I find amazing is during these storms, how fast they get the electric back. I remember they had no electric across the street from me. And by the time my wife went to bed, she looked in and she saw the lights on the guy's porch.
Oh, that's great.
There was, and even cable, because they got to fix the, you know, I don't know how they do all this stuff so fast, because they're, you know, it's pitch dark for one thing.
Yeah.
And they got to go work. They got to find where the line is. They got to get up there, play with electricity. I get nervous plugging stuff into a wall because I don't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
These guys are dealing with hot lines up there.
Yeah, no, the Wii Energy
in the
folks.
Dark.
We're pretty quick. I mean, some people were out for 24 to 36 hours. So thankfully, you know, most of the power wasn't out too long. But yeah, they're out there dealing with live wires when the trees take them down. And that's no small feat.
Okay, quick review. If you have a lot of limbs on your trees that came down,
you put them in the right of way today. Like if you put them out there today and we have crews picking them up all day today. So if you have limbs and, you know, tree debris and everything, you know, organic material is what they call it. If you have that, put that in your right of way today. Now, if you miss that, you can take it over to Pearl Street. That's 801 Pearl Street, not too far from City Hall. You can take your organic material there. And then if you have other like stuff that's broken and whatnot that, and you're thinking, oh, how am I going to get rid of this, you know, broken chair or lawn equipment or whatever that, that may have broken in the storm. You can put that out on your normal garbage day. And again, we usually have five what we call bulky waste items that, that are bigger than the garbage bin. This week, if you're in the affected areas, there's no limit to the amount of material that you can put out. So if you have other material that's broken, put it out on your normal garbage day. You don't need the stickers for it. Just put it on out and we'll take care of it. Now, if you miss your garbage day, we do have the waste transfer station at 6300 21st Street, which is west of Green Bay Road. You can take your stuff there and drop it off there.
Would you put in your window, by the way, to stop everything from coming in when you got home?
Well, initially we used a garbage bag, but the next day I went to Home Depot and had them custom rip a sheet of plywood so that I could cover the open hole. So,
yeah, I always wondered, you know, they always see these boarded up places with a perfectly cut piece of plywood. I wouldn't know how to do that. I wouldn't know how to fasten it to the house.
Yeah.
I'm not a handyman.
Well, we didn't have power initially. So even with a circular saw, you couldn't do it. So
I can't. Tell me what your first reaction was when you saw the window and your wife came.
So
and your
the
wife
first reaction, honestly, was turning in down the street is not just the trees being down, but it was just so dark. Right. Because there's no power on. And so you're sort of driving through the street and, you know, your headlights are obviously giving you some light, but you don't realize how much the street lights and house lights add to the illumination on your street until you get there and it's just all gone. And so, you know, the basketball hoops knocked over but there's tree limbs everywhere. And you're just thinking, oh, my gosh, how bad is it going to be when we get there? So it was.
And you're the mayor. You got to worry about everybody.
Right. Right.
I'm worried about my little flagpole that broke. Yeah. But you got to worry about everybody.
Yeah. But, you know, look, within minutes on the phone with the police chief, with the deputy fire chief, with director of public works, director of parks, they're all out there coordinating. Right. They know what's going on. And, you know, you got to do a little bit to encourage them to make sure they're communicating with each other and everybody's on the same page. But they were all out there immediately sprung into action. And again, hats off to our public employees who've done such a great job in a pretty remarkable situation to keep us all safe.
And you hear the fire sirens, police sirens, kind of nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Mayor, you going to be back May 28th?
I'll be here.
Okay, we got other things to talk about, including the downing of the YMCA.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of sad to see that.
It's bittersweet. Yeah. It's bittersweet. I'm excited for what's next, but a lot of memories.
His Honor, Mayor Corey Mason, City of Racine, thanks for coming in on the last-minute notice here. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
It's 8 o'clock on WRJN. Let's do the news.